That can that music can mean only one thing, that the gurus of how-to are here to help us not burn down the house. No. When we do our repairs.
Well, it's actually burned down the house. There's a cartoon that was posted on Good Morning America one time. It says, tune into the show and Al Ubell will show you how to burn down your house.
Well, we have Alvin and his son, Lawrence, the gurus of how-to with us. They joined us once a month to talk about different matters and also to throw out a quiz, a quiz that was not answered.
This is a two-month run. Yes.
And if we don't get an answer this time, I think we should just retire it. Because we did one that ran something like 4 months.
You're making the audience suffer too much. It's just not right.
Yeah.
I like that part.
You're very sadistic. I didn't know that.
Yeah, a little bit. But I do have to say one thing. Last month, my emails got erased. And I lost a lot of emails that I got. So if you emailed last month and you didn't get an answer, that's why. Email me again. So go to that folder where you have your sent items and just forward it to me again.
And if you want to instead call us, our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org to speak to the gurus of how-to, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York, USA.
Well, Brooklyn, you know, it's the center of the universe, well, at least when we're there.
As a Brooklynite, I'm not going to argue this one.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm sure 90% of the calls are going to be about air conditioning and related matters.
I tell you, I wish it would not be on the air conditioner. I wish it would be on, which I have noted on my little script here, that stairs are a big problem throughout the country, throughout the world, actually.
What really comes to pass is that my father, with his investigations of stair matters, and mine with just doing home inspections, the amount of poorly built steps, or people who leave elements off, or just build or just install portions of it or components of the stairs improperly, like handrails, which you take for granted, but you're supposed to have an inch and a half between the handrail and the wall. Well, a lot of times you only have maybe a half an inch, and people's fingers get stuck and they get hurt. Let's not get graphic.
Or you can't put your fingers around the handrail and hold on.
Or people even like on brownstones, you'll have in the front steps, you'll have those big guardrails, which are 6-8 inches wide. Those are not handrails. Those are guardrails.
They are handrails. They are handrails. The handrails for a gorilla.
Right. And those are the issues. I mean, yes, everything's great when the weather's good and you have your balance. But one little thing goes wrong, either with you miss a step, or there's some ice or water or something, and down you go. And that's your only life preserver or safety boat, is that handrail to grab that to steady yourself.
There are some homes that I visited don't have a handrail or a banister. Yeah,
people take them out.
They take them out.
I have friends who
consider them ugly?
Yes. They have a stairs going from upstairs to downstairs, and they took out the whole handrail and guardrail. So it's basically an open step. One misstep. And you're done. And then you put carpeting on it.
And it's a flyer down the steps.
Do you like carpeting on steps?
Well, yes and no. It depends upon how the stair is and where the stair is.
Also the pattern of the carpet.
Yes.
The pattern of the carpet could help you because it gives you better perspective on the carpet. On some cases, it makes it worse because it makes all the steps blend into one another.
And it looks like a ramp rather than a set of stairs, especially for one who is unexpected. But getting back to the handrail, a stair without a handrail, whether it be inside the house, outside the house, or anywhere, is an accident waiting to happen. There's no question about it. And what drives me crazy is that the city of New York has codes and standards, and even the federal government has codes and standards. But on major buildings like the White House, the Capitol, courthouses, no handrails. No handrails. They have these gigantic stairs that go up 2-3 stories, and people are falling down on them all the time. I don't understand where people's thinking is.
But even where there are handrails, for example, you're coming out of the subway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide stairway. People are walking. Some are holding onto the handrails. Others are forced to walk in the middle. And if they get a little wobbly, there's nowhere for them to go.
There's no question about it. But in complimenting the Transit Authority, they're doing a fantastic job of changing that whole condition about the handrails. They're putting in new handrails. They're putting them out of stainless steel, which makes them look clean so people are not afraid to touch them, because the old wooden handrails look dirty all the time and it would look like it was contaminated. So now the handrails are more inviting. The only thing is that they have to do a better job too. They're doing a great job, but they have to do it better, because you have a very wide stair, which is over 88 inches. They're supposed to have an intermediate handrail. And also the handrail has to be graspable. We spoke about that a little while. You have to be able to put your fingers around it. And an inch and a half is the most comfortable.
So slip, you can really hold on.
Like a monkey. Grab a hold and hold your body up.
My guests are the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Our phone number, 212-433-9692. We're going to start taking calls, but I want to remind people that we have this quiz that the Ubells bring in every month, and nobody got the answer last month. Can I ask the question?
You do the honors.
What is the name given to a type of screw that has multiple and different threads on the same screw? And it isn't all that hard.
And it's for people to get a visual. It's sometimes you can screw one thing in from one side and something in from the other. They could be in the same direction or they can be opposing directions. Like in a turnbuckle, you would have...
Now, where would you use this?
The one that would have two different types of screws but in the same direction would be the bottom half could be a wood-type screw that would go into, let's say, a stringer on a set of steps. And the upper part would go in, could be into a piece of metal that would be the balustrade, and that would be a machine screw or a regular nut and bolt.
So this way you have a worm screw on one end and a machine screw at the other end. But you could also have a screw that actually is in a piece of machinery that turns and turns a cog inside at a different rate of speed. So it could be used as a changing of mechanism in a piece of machinery.
Mm-hmm. And if you think you know the answer, give us a call at 212-433-9692. Meanwhile, we have lots of calls for people with problems, starting with Adrian from Brooklyn. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. What's up?
My refrigerator. It started performing poorly during the first of the heat waves, and I've since defrosted it twice, and I've tried to look for some sort of concise diagnosis online, but nothing. So,
have you cleaned out the coils in the back?
Yes, I have.
You have.
And how about the tray on the bottom underneath the condenser coil?
You mean at the very bottom?
At the very bottom, where the water drips down and where the compressor actually is. There's a tray that if you open up the front, you can pull out a tray that where the water drips into, and it evaporates from the heat of the compressor.
And what would he find there?
You'll find...
I found that tray, and there's been no even sign of water there. And
it's clogged.
It's on there now.
The drain is clogged.
Then maybe there's a clogged drain there. How old is this unit?
It's not that old. It's from 2002.
You might actually have a clog in that. If it actually might take that you have to pull the refrigerator out and actually maybe lay it on its side and start doing investigation, find out where the hose is that feeds into that drain, and then go all the way back up and see where that terminates on the...
I once found a grape.
A grape stuck.
A grape rolled into that where the drain was and stayed there.
So if it were working okay, there would be some water on that tray?
In the tray, there should be a little bit of water or water marks where the water filled in during the defrosting cycle, and then it evaporates.
And that really does explain why it's constantly frosting up.
Should do is do what you've suggested, and then if it still doesn't work, he gets in touch with you, Larry?
Yes. But he just asked the question about that doesn't explain why it does work. It does. What happens is that the water doesn't drain out perfectly. The water builds up and it evaporates inside the refrigerator, and that brings up the relative humidity in the refrigerator, and then it frosts on the cooling coils in the refrigerator.
And if you want to email me, it's Larry@ubell.com.
But also put a phone number in there so Larry can talk to you directly.
Please put a phone number.
Okay. Thank you so much, Adrian. And Charlene... Is it Charlene from Garden City? Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
We are in the process of getting a new toilet for our bathroom, and the one that we selected, I don't know if I'm allowed to use
a name.
The one that we selected is a cola.
You can't use that name. Any other name.
Okay.
You are just awful.
Go ahead.
Anyway, it's a one piece.
Yes.
I don't have the model number in front of me. However, coincidentally, was talking to a friend of mine that just had a horrific situation where in the middle of the night, she has an older model of a similar one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those energy, you know, flushing.
Right, right, yeah.
And it exploded. It completely exploded. And when she contacted the company, they said that, yes, the older ones, they definitely had some incidences of this. Can you imagine how dangerous
An admission.
Yeah.
And the reason that they said is instead of water in the tank, it's two cylinders that are under pressure.
Right.
And they can explode.
Right.
And what I wanted to know is... if you know anything about that.
No, actually, this is the first I've heard of this. But I am kind of hoping that they've dealt with the problem, you know, with the 1.0 version. And hopefully with the 2.0 version, they fixed the problem. In a lot of ways, it kind of goes with what we always say, never buy the first version of anything. speak to the iPhone 4 people.
Is there a way that I could find this out? Because it's, again,
I would actually go with Consumer Reports. Consumer Reports is actually my best resource for knowing how new stuff performs, whether it's toilets or whether it's in, tankless water heaters or ductless air conditioners. All the newer technology that's out there, they go and they actually do the testing. And it's very informative. It's definitely worth the yearly subscription for the online version because not everyone has the time to sit and read a whole magazine. But when it's something that you're concerned about, they definitely test the issues. So I would definitely look there. I haven't had a client call me up and say the toilet exploded. I'm sure I would have heard from them had it happened.
Oh, you better believe
it. I hear from them from everything. I just want to throw in a side note there, is that you're redoing the bathroom and you're putting the toilet basically where it was before?
Yeah.
Okay. Because my father's pet peeve was the whole stair issue. My pet peeve these days is toilet clearance, is that having enough room on both sides of the toilet. And the new codes say that you have to have 15 inches of room from the center line of the toilet to the wall and minimum of a 30-inch space and 21 inches in front. So when you're installing a bathroom or redoing a bathroom, make sure you keep those clearances. Because a friend of mine has a bathroom where the toilet doesn't have that kind of clearance. And if you use it, you actually have to swing one leg into the tub in order to get comfortable. So
if it explodes, who knows what's going to happen.
I don't even want to talk about that. I don't know. It would be a compact explosion because the room's so small. But anyway, that's what I would do. I don't really would have that much concern because of the newness of – because it's the next version of the same toilet.
Thank you so much for calling us. We go now to Linda from – where is it? Mars Plains. Hi, Linda. You're on.
Hi, Linda. What's up? Linda,
are you there?
Linda.
Oh, Linda.
Well, if she calls back, we'll take
them. We'll sneak over here to Arlene from New Jersey.
Hi, Arlene.
Hi there.
What's up?
We have a phantom flusher.
Oh, it flushes. It starts running in the middle of the night.
Correct.
Okay. The thing that's most likely the problem there is the flapper. This is an old style toilet, I'm assuming.
I think it's European.
Yeah.
And the flusher is a button on top of the tank.
Okay, but no, most of the time that occurs is because where the flapper or the ball or the ball cock goes into
the ball stopper,
the flap that picks up when you flush, which lets the water out. It sits into a little flange, and the inside of that flange usually builds up with some kind of dirt, debris, some just gook, and that needs to be cleaned out once in a while. And the ball itself may have a leak in it, or it needs to be replaced. It's not a very costly thing. You just have to get the model of the toilet you have and replace that. But that's usually what's happening: is water is slowly leaking out through the ball stopper. Or around the ball stopper, and then it has to keep filling itself up. You're wasting water, but also it's very annoying. I would take the model number to your plumbing supply house, or just go online and find it, and they could probably send you a new ball flap. copper, but you also need to clean out the flange, and you can do that with a steel wool or a scrunchie pad or something like that that would just clean off that debris.
Thank you for calling us, Arlene. Before we go to a break, we have some people who have called in with answers to the quiz. What is the name given to a type of screw that has multiple and different threads on the same screw? What do you think it is? Hello?
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 Yes.
Yes.
Hi.
What do you think the name of it is?
Your name is Janita?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's called a dowel screw.
No.
No. Sorry about that.
Well,
no.
There are dowel screws that have on either side, correct?
I don't mean to be like a pain in the butt here, but a dowel screw could be a type of this screw. Not all dowel screws have threads at both ends, but this one does.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for calling us. We go now to Chaz from New Jersey. What do you think it is?
It sounds to me like it's a hanger bolt.
A hanger bolt is a type of screw that we are looking for that has what we said before. It has a worm screw on one side, and it has a machine screw on the other side. The hanger bolt is a type of what we are looking for. It's just one of the types.
But it is not the answer we're looking for
because this is these multiple screws not only could have two threads, but could have three and four different kinds of threads on the same screw rod, and it has a special name.
Okay. We'll take a little break while you think about that. My guests are the gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell. And our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write in, not with an answer, but you can write in any kind of question that you have for the gurus at our show page at WNYC.org. We'll be back with more right after this. We're back with the gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell, and we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And Andrew from Long Island, you're on the air.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
What's up?
So I have an oil burner.
Yeah.
That every time you turn on the faucet anywhere in the house, the first maybe 30 seconds or so, the water is super hot. And I called the plumber. The plumber said it's the oil burner people. I called the oil burner people. They said I need a plumber.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you just turn the water on, the first run of water is scalding hot, or after the cold water comes out, it's scalding hot?
No, it might take a second or two to get hot, but then every faucet in the house, it's the same story, including the hose outlets outside.
Really?
Could I ask you something? In other words,
sure.
You get hot water out of your cold water side?
Absolutely. Exactly.
Oh, then you have a cross-fitting.
A cross-connection.
A cross-connection someplace.
Between your hot and cold.
That is a plumbing problem. It's not an oil burner problem. What's happening is someplace in your system, probably at a clothes washing machine or something like that, you have what is known as a cross-connection where the hot water is migrating into the cold water lines. This is not an unusual condition because the hot water tries to dissipate itself and it travels to a direction of where there is less energy. This is a physical thing in nature. And so what is taking place is you got to find where that cross-connection is, whether it be at a faucet, a bathtub, but most likely it's at a clothes washing machine connection.
Yeah, it could be there. It could be, or sometimes in older buildings, people will put in those, they'll have separate hot and cold faucets, physical faucets, and they'll put in a device that connects the two, and sometimes it has a valve in the middle of it. And so that also is what occurs. The problem is, and I feel for this person, is that a lot of times you'll call a plumber in, and what really has to happen there is analysis. They have to stand back and look at the whole thing and start going through each issue one by one, which is what we do. And they don't have the time because it's hard for them to charge for that type of analysis because they really basically charge on what they install, what the part costs, and they have a fee for that. But this, you know, to be in a building for 2 or 3 hours to try to trace out all the lines and where it is, they don't really know how to charge for that. They don't know how to deal with it, and they don't want to deal with it. So basically, you have a plumbing guy and an oil burner guy both pointing fingers at each other, but neither one of them want to take the time to figure out what the problem is.
Right. It takes time to figure it out, and especially, as you said, in a multi-story building or multi-family building where one tenant can do that, and it affects the entire building from top to bottom, where all of a sudden everybody in the building is getting hot water out of their cold water faucet.
Mm-hmm. Along these lines, Milton from Queens says, the last time you were on the show, you mentioned a way to make hot water come out of the faucet more quickly, and he missed what it was. Do you remember what you said?
Well, it depends upon what kind of a building it is. In a one-family house, it's not cost-effective. But in a multi-story building, there is what they call a gravity circulating system or a circulating pump system where the hot water is continuously circulating through the entire building, passing each and every fixture of the building. And this way, when you turn on the faucet at the hot water faucet at the particular fixture, whether it be a shower, a bathtub, or a sink, you have hot water almost instantaneously.
Thank you for sending in that question. By the way, you can write into us on our show page at WNYC.org. Alicia from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Alicia?
Hi, Alicia.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Okay, I was thinking I would install some quiet, energy-efficient air conditions in 3 rooms of my 5-room apartment.
Yes.
I had a very old 6500 BTU model in my bedroom, but it was I never used it because it was too large and too uncomfortable, and it was so noisy I couldn't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about a ductless model for 3 of those 5 rooms?
I do like that. The problem with it is that I'm not sure you're going to get great air circulation through the doorways. Because if you put it in one room, how are you going to get the air conditioning to the other room?
Well, what he was going to do is the compressor would be on the outside mounted to the brick wall.
Yeah, I know that.
And then he would run a copper tubing that's insulated along the wall from the front of the house to the back of the house. Mm-hmm. And he would drill either a 3-inch or a 4-inch hole, and he would set in... he would put the ducts in each room separately.
Hang on. So in other words, he's going to put a different air handler in each room.
Yes.
Then I like that. That's great. Go for it.
That's called a split system. It works very well.
And the ductless systems work really well if you don't have the option of putting in ductwork. I actually like ductwork systems better because they tend to be a little bit quieter, and they also tend to be a little less expensive if you have the room. Those ductless units tend to be about $5,000 to $7,000 per room to put in. Is that about right, what he's charging you?
Well, the ductless air conditioning, the split system, I haven't really started to look yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be expensive.
It's going to be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
I would say probably with 3 different rooms, probably closer to 12 or 13.
Oh my gosh!
So you better look into it. And if you actually have an attic space that's available, or a cellar that's available to put your ductwork, or basement or cellar, you might want to run it through there. If you want more information, you can definitely email me and we'll discuss more about it. But in some applications, the ductless work really well. But in other applications, the traditional duct systems work really well. And you have to decide on the system, on the application.
Bud from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Something interesting has been happening around here. I live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, Con Ed has been lowering the power during these heat wave days. Yeah. And I noticed that it's affecting my air conditioner a great deal. My air conditioner cycles on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the manufacturer, and they said lower power is going to affect air conditioners, refrigerators, and all things electrical that way. And I was wondering what you thought about that. I called Air Con Ed, and they told me that, yes, they were lowering the power depending upon weather, but it's been very, very frequently. And so what I've got is an air conditioner that cycles on and off, which I think cost me a fortune. Any ideas?
Well, I tell you, you're at the mercy of the utility company.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be at the mercy of the utility company and have enough power to run a piece of equipment that is designed to be at a certain voltage and to achieve the accurate amount of amperage to run that unit, you almost have to generate your own electricity, which is expensive. And you could actually take Con Edison's electricity and run what they call a T-set, which would run a generator that would give you enough electricity, but expensive.
Or some people use put solar panels on the roof.
Solar panels sometimes it's a very good way of saving electricity.
Or a windmill. Could you put a windmill on the roof?
Well, you could do a lot of things on
but
it.
But we are a big advocate of green energy and definitely renewable energy sources. The problem is that when you put solar panels on your roof, or even a wind, or even a turbine on your roof, or where on your property, you're not really powering yourself. You're just putting more energy back into the grid, and then you're getting a discount, or you're being paid to generate that energy.
But aren't you keeping the level of electricity?
No.
So it would be the same thing for
It would be exactly the same thing.
The only way to do that is what I call a T-set, like they have on elevators, where they need DC current, and they'll have an alternating current motor run a DC generator in order to have direct current, or vice versa. So there's a lot of things going on today, but it could be very expensive in order to circumvent what Con Edison gives you.
And during this really unusual heat wave that we've had, I think we've had 30, not over 90 degree days this year, or close to that, we're at the mercy of the electrical system and the electrical company.
We have some people who think they know the answers to the quiz.
Let's go with it.
Okay, Zach.
Zach from Old Tappan. What do you say it is?
Hi, an all-thread rod.
An all-thread rod. That's a new one. I never heard that term. But
I know what he's talking about. It's basically a rod with thread all the way up it. We're looking for a rod that actually has threads of different pitches or different types.
Yeah, right. A threaded rod is what you're really looking for. We use threaded rods for sandwiching bolts and holding things together. That's a very good device, but it's not what we're looking for.
Okay.
Okay, now Tom from the BQE, you're on the road?
Yes, I am.
Where in the BQE?
Not in the BQE, I'm on the belt.
Oh, where?
I'm coming through Coney Island.
Okay, yeah. My favorite parking lot. Go on.
So what do you say?
It's a lag bolt or a lag screw.
No, it's not. No. But a lag bolt could be a part of this.
That's right, true.
Yes.
But
sorry.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Next is Gail from New Jersey.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's up?
It's a hanger bolt. We sell them.
No.
Let me answer. The hanger bolt... Not all hanger bolts have different threads at both ends. Some do, but a hanger bolt is a type of this bolt. So,
okay.
No. But thanks.
Thank you. We have one more person who thinks he knows the answer, and then I think you're going to have to retire it.
We're gonna have to...
Mark from Brooklyn.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. I think it's a gimlet.
A gimlet is a thing that you can cut through like leather or something like that to make a little hole in it, and it has a little worm on the end of it, and then it turns into like a cutting tool to go through the leather or wood, whatever you want. That's what a gimlet is, other than the drinks that they serve in the bar.
Well, it's a martini with onions.
Yes.
One more.
Okay.
Rick from Manhattan.
What's up, Rick?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
What do you think?
I think it's a collar stud.
A collar stud has a short space of no thread, but it has the same thread on both sides.
So that's how we're looking.
Okay,
for.
The answers are all wrong, and I think you're going to have to retire this
one. Let's give it to them.
Okay,
right?
The answer is
a compound screw, and this is a device that could have multiple threads on it. It could have up to as many threads as a machinist wants to put on it. But generally speaking, it usually has two or three threads on the same device.
The length of the screw has different threads.
Different threads, sometimes going in
looks
different
weird.
different directions. One could be left-handed, one could be right-handed.
Okay, well, we don't have much time, but I want to
Want to apologize for creating a new word, concernedness.
Concernedness.
Okay, I said it earlier, and I go, that's not a word.
Mary in Manhattan left this question on her show page. She said, I'm moving from an apartment with mold and mildew in the bathroom to an apartment without it. Do I have to discard the plastic storage bins and metal shelving in the old bathroom to avoid carrying the mold and mildew spores into the new bathroom, or is there some way to clean them?
Yes, there is a way to clean it with a bleach, water, soap solution. The thing about mold, and we've said this a million times, is that mold is not the problem. Mold is the symptom. The problem is too much moisture or too much water. So what you have to do is, once you clean that up and you keep your new bathroom nice and dry after you take a shower, open the door, open the window, let that place become the same humidity as the rest of the apartment, it will work.
Now, we've run out of time, and we have a lot of good calls, unfortunately. If those people can't wait, they can get in touch with you, Larry?
Yes, they can.
Larry@UBELL.com, but put a phone number in your message.
And don't keep emailing Leonard here, because he's just going to end up forwarding it to me.
That's what
I do. And undoubtedly, I just reply, and I end up mailing it back to him.
Because you still haven't figured out how email works.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the gurus will be back with us on September 8th. When? What will
happen? We will go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.
Thanks so much for being with us again.
Thank you.